scripture reading is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 to 10 and verse 20 and 21. 1 Chronicles 28. David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the stewards of all the property and cattle of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the seasoned warriors. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you are a warrior and have shed blood. Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from all my father's house to be king over Israel forever, for he chose Judah as leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among my father's sons, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'It is Solomon your son who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues resolute in keeping my commandments and my ordinances, as he is today. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you, forever. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it.' Then David said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, be not dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And with you in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be wholly at your command. Amen, and may God bless to us in a special way this passage of his word.
Big smile, and indicated that she was pleased, and so was I pleased. I said to the organist before we came in, I was speaking about this in the vestry, how appropriate the passage is for a valedictory service, and he said something like this: I think God must have known about Marian's valedictory service. And I'm glad that we are just in the normal sequence of studies, because it signifies in a very real way that this valedictory service fits in naturally to the ongoing work of Sandyford, which is our spiritual home. It means also that what we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 is without any doubt at all God's prescribed word, not only to Marian but to all of us on this occasion. We are all involved in what is being done today, and it was no empty gesture when we stood together for the prayer of dedication. Because this is simply the truth about us here in this place. We stand together. We stand together for salvation, and we stand together for service in Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And for our salvation and for our service, we stand together in Christ. And together, whether we serve at home or abroad, we look for God's word to us for instruction, for encouragement, and for assurance. And in the sequence of our Sunday morning studies in Chronicles, we have been learning a great deal about the work of God in the world. And we have seen, perhaps more clearly than we have seen formerly, that the work of God in the world is a work that goes on from generation to generation. It is a work that is far, far greater than any of us realize. And it is a work that is far surer than any of us realize, because it is God himself who initiates the work, it is God himself who progresses the work, and it is God himself who brings the work to completeness. And he is initiating and progressing and completing the work which he himself has planned. But as we have seen again and again in these studies in Chronicles, it is God's work, and we must never forget that it is God's work. And this is why it must be done in God's way, with attitudes and with actions that are worthy of the God we serve. There must be nothing cheap, there must be nothing casual about our Christian service. It is God's work from beginning to end, and yet we are privileged to be incorporated into it. And therefore, in a very, very real sense, we have to see ourselves as part of the great apostolic succession. I don't know that any of us really would aspire to be included in the list of names of the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we do not have pretensions for greatness. We admire the great men, the Abrahams, Isaac, Jacobs, Joseph, Moses, and all the rest of them. But we do not really count ourselves to be in that class. But on the other hand, we are certainly finding a place in that other list of names that we shall be studying tonight in our evening service in the 16th chapter of Romans, a list of names of people who are mostly very ordinary people. They're not clever, they're not honors graduates and all that kind of thing. They are largely ordinary people, and they are largely unknown people. But there their names are listed in God's book because they were people who served the Lord. And I'm quite sure Marion Morrison's name and George Phillips' name, to name but two, are included in the list of those who are counted as servants of God. And even as I say these words, there is something in me that wants to walk tall. What greater privilege can there ever be than to be listed in the roll of honor of those who have served the Lord? I think it is important on a day like this to remind ourselves, as we see from Chronicles, not only of the call and the challenge of Christian service, and to remind ourselves of the cost, not only to the missionaries, but to the families of the missionaries. And I want to remind Marion's family that they too are being prayed for and will be prayed for. But the theme really this morning is not a theme of call and challenge. I think we also need to remind ourselves of the assurances that God gives to us. And we need to remind ourselves of the fact that God commits himself not only to the work, but God commits himself to us who serve. And so I bid you, if you have your Bibles open in front of you, and some of you have, to turn with me to this 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles, the passage that was read so graciously and with such meaning earlier in the service, so that together we can see as clearly as and as simply as possible the message that God has for us this morning from out of his word. And I suggest to you that in verses 2 to 5 of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we see David. We see David gloriously focused on God and submissive to God. We see a man, and he had many faults, he made many mistakes, and he was often filled with fear. We see a man, David by name, willing and eager in the service of God. He bears testimony that he had laid the foundation for the building of the temple of God in Jerusalem. He had made preparation for the building of the temple, and he had made provision for that particular work. And yet, much as he wanted to do it, he was not allowed to do that part of the work. God said, "No, David, you will not build the temple. Your son Solomon will build the temple." And much as David would have been willing to do this service for God, he was not allowed to do that part of the work which ultimately would be seen and admired and vindicated. But as we have seen in our studies and commented in earlier Sunday mornings, there is no resentment in the heart of David. He is delighted to do God's will, even when that service was restricted, and even when it denied his own desires and his own fulfillment. Oh, if there was one thing that David would have loved to have done above all other things, it was to build the temple. But God said, "No, David, that's not your bit of the work." And David was submissive to God. And I believe that this is at the heart of all that we mean by dedication. To do God's will. It does not devalue us, nor does it devalue our service. Some people are given work to do that keeps them in the forefront of public attention. Other people are given work to do in a corner that is out of sight. But whether in the public eye or out of sight, both pieces of work are God's work, and they are done in the presence of God, and they are done for God. And this is why I draw your attention to the fact that we see David here gloriously focused on God. Didn't Marian say just a moment or two ago that gradually over a spell of time it became clearer and clearer that this is what God wanted her to do? I bear testimony that many, many years ago, over a spell of 2 years working in a bank in Aberdeen, it became increasingly clear to me that what God wanted me to be was a minister. And that's why I'm a minister. And that's why Marian's a missionary. It was God's decision and God's desire. I find myself often going back to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the story of the woman at the well of Samaria, where Jesus spoke to his disciples and said to them, "I sent you to reap where you didn't sow." Oh, but people say, that's not fair. This is the way that God works. He sends some to sow. He sends others to reap. I remember reading of a missionary who, after many years in a Muslim country, said, I can't claim to have accomplished anything. I haven't built a church. I haven't brought people to Christ. But what I can claim to have done over all these years is to clear the ground of a lot of rubble, spiritually speaking, so that others can come after me to plow the ground and sow the seed, so that in the fullness of time there might be men and women brought to Christ. Oh, dear Marian, there's a great release, and there's a great peace, and there's a great fulfillment in living your life on the basis of just doing what God tells you to do and bother everybody else. Jesus went on that day speaking to his disciples and said to them, "Other men have labored, and you enter into their labors. But one thing has been clear to me as I've looked at this chapter right throughout this week since last Sunday evening, and it is this, that David, the man of God, was looking to the future with hope and with expectation." And with that we come to verses 6, 7, and 8, where we find David addressing the people. David bears testimony and says, "God said to me, 'It is Solomon your son who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues resolute in keeping my commandments and my ordinances as he is today. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And David is addressing the people, particularly those with leadership and responsibility. And he says to them in that 8th verse which I've just read, observe and seek out all God's commandments. Make it your business to know God's will and to do it. Make it your business to keep yourself, spiritually speaking, alive to what God is saying to you. But remember, says David in verses 6 to 7, underlying all our desire for guidance and underlying all our commitment to obedience is the fact of God's will, God's clear plan, God's clear purpose, and God's clear determination, and his commitment, and his assurance. Did you notice I tried to put emphasis into the word where God said, I have chosen him, I will be his father, I will establish his kingdom. I think we forget just how determined and how competent and how sovereign our God is. I sat at my desk and thought of these things, and I turned up the verse. I won't make you turn it up this morning. It's in Isaiah chapter 43 at the 13th verse where we read, God is speaking and he says, I am God, and also henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can hinder it? It's almost a challenge from the Almighty to all the puppet powers of the world. God says, it is my will to work and to work salvation and to work it gloriously and to work through my chosen servants. I work. Who can hinder it? And there can be no answer to that. There is a marvelous emphasis in these few verses in Chronicles 6, 7, and 8. God saying repeatedly, I will, I will. It's almost as if God is saying through David to his servant, you know, I recognize you're not able. I'll do it. Think sometimes of a child trying to do something that is obviously impossible for the child. They're trying to lift a heavy chair or move a table or something like that, and it's just not on. A child can't do that. So what does the father do? The father says, I'll help you. Oh, that's a good idea. And as the table is being moved or the chair being moved, it's obvious it's the father who's taking all the weight. But there's the wee child hanging on. He's doing it. Oh yes, father's helping him, but he's doing it. That's a picture of Christian service. Didn't we sing the other Sunday? Can't remember if it was last Sunday or not. The great hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Hasn't it got little lines in it that says, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. I was saying in the vestry to my brothers before the service began, and saying it with some feeling, oh, I don't like these special services. But you know, when Marion came up here to the pulpit this morning, you saw me saying something to her. I might as well tell you what I said. I said, Marion, there's a great sense of God's presence here today. Isn't that true? And isn't that a comfort and an assurance and an encouragement to Mary and to her family and to all of us. As she stands at the verge of this new phase and this new stage of her life. So I bid you look briefly at verses 9 and 10 of our chapter, where David is saying to his son Solomon, "The Lord has chosen you." That's what it says in verse 9. "The Lord has chosen you." You know, it's very moving, isn't it? That God should choose the likes of you and me. The Lord has chosen you. It is all very personal, whether in respect of service in Solomon's building of the temple, or service here in Sandyford, or service in the hospital in Multan in Pakistan. The Lord has chosen you, and our calling and our placement are not in any sense accidental, nor are our calling and placement merely our own decision, or that of the church, or that of the missionary society. God has chosen you. Yes, I know there's challenge in these two verses, 9 and 10, because they say, now learn to know God and serve Him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. Yes, I know a lot about the fact that there is a basic principle of fruitful Christian service, learning to know God, seeking God with all your heart, walking with God. That's the heart of Christian service, whatever your Christian service is. And that's what Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing. Abide in me." The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Yes, I know there's challenge and call and exhortation in these verses, but oh, I still think in verses 9 and 10, the heart of it, the basic emphasis is God's choice of you and me. Oh, Marian, think of this verse often. The Lord has chosen you. The Lord has chosen you. And He knows us in a very personal way. And the eye of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth. And we are never out of His sight. And I believe that the Lord will see to it that you are never forgotten here at home. I'm very aware of the fact that this coming week you go. And not all that many days later, the Trelogan family, our own missionaries, arrive back home for 6 months. And then they'll go. Then I suppose it'll be Colin Fishbacher from Chigoria. Then it'll be the Knowles family from Equindeni. The coming and going of the Fellowship of Sandyford. And all the time, in every movement and every stage, the eye of the Lord. Oh, what a comfort it is. I've written down here, but I've said it already, really, Sandyford congregation, pray for your missionaries, because if you don't, God will not hold you guiltless on the great day. Let me leave you with this last word in verses 20 and 21. David said to Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not and be not dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God." Oh, I'm glad it says my God. Oh, Marian Morrison, my God, who has retrieved me from complication and potential disaster time and time again throughout my Christian life and my Christian service. My God will be with you. That's what David says. David, the man who sinned so greatly and found such glorious forgiveness. David, who so often lost the place and was restored to fruitful service. Oh, says David to his son, my God, not will be with you, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Oh, what an assurance. David is saying to Solomon, and God is saying to us, go to it. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Don't be cast down. It is the devil who produces these feelings of fear and dismay and makes us feel cast down. Here is the truth for today and forever. Summed up in perhaps the words we sang in that great hymn earlier in the service, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. The Lord God Almighty, the King of creation, the ruler of the world, the governor of history, the God of our salvation. My God is with you. The God who has kept me. The God who has forgiven me again and again. The God who led me, says David, the God who provided for me. The God who has blessed me beyond all my expectations. My God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Maybe you've thought that the scripture reading should have ended at the end of verse 20, but I disagree. Because in verse 21, God goes on to say, he will not only not fail or forsake you, he will give you those you need to stand with you, to share with you, and to work with you. And in due time, you will bear testimony to what the Lord has done for you and with you and through you. And until that time, Marian, when you come back in person to tell us the story of your spell, your first spell in Multan, until then, we, your home congregation, to whom you belong in such a real way, we covenant before God that we will stand with you, we will share with you, and our prayers will never stop. And I can just imagine your heart saying, well, Mr. Philip, in Multan, Sandyford will be prayed for. And we know that. And together, we will praise the Lord and give thanks to his holy name. Amen, and may God bless to us his own good word.